The following shiur has been presented by Rev Shraga Kallis, Rosh Kollel at the Beis Havad Halacha Kollel in Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. The center can be reached for dispute resolution and many other halachic services at 888-485-VAD or at thehalachacenter.org.
The Gemara on Daf Mem, Amud Aleph, Amud Beis, in Shabbos, is really the culmination of the sugya of Bishul. The sikum, we can make a sikum, the summary of all of the sugya of Bishul in Hilchos Shabbos, which is a major, not just halacha l'maaseh, but very, very negay, really in Kol HaTarkula, with different concepts that specifically on our daf come up, whether it's the concept of Irui, the concept of Klisheini, the concepts of Klishlishi. We'll try today to be misakim a little bit the inyanim, make a little bit of a summary, and try to make it very practical how to make a tea on Shabbos, how to serve soup and soup nuts and croutons, etc. Maybe to branch out and see where this question, the sugya, is negayin kol tarkula. Now, the maisa, the first thing is just to be misakin, make a summary of the actual halachas. Of course, we all know that eish is mevashal, and that's, of course, midaraisa, is the deraisa to be mevashal on Shabbos. The sugya we saw previously told us that any tolda of eish is also nisa deraisa, any derivative of eish, whether it's a frying pan that was heated by fire, and of course, any liquid that was heated by fire, and is still remaining in the same actual pot that it was heated in, which is called an halacha kli rishon. So, for example, your urn is considered a kli rishon in halacha, and the status of kli rishon is that a kli rishon certainly can be mevashal anything that has not been previously cooked. Now, I say anything, of course, it could be if it's a meat or something that is a raw meat, it wouldn't be mevashal, but I'll call upon anything in our normal scenario that hasn't been cooked, any types of spices or whatnot that haven't been cooked would certainly be forbidden to put inside your kli rishon. In addition to that, it would also be forbidden to put inside liquids, whether it's water. And in addition to that, as we saw in the previous sugyas, it would be usur to even put in previously cooked liquids inside a kli rishon, because we hold the halacha, it's a question if it's midaraisa, midarabanan, but we hold the halacha that yesh, bishul, achar, bishul, bedavar, lach, that there's considered a iser bishul when it comes to a liquid that was previously cooked and now was cooled off. And therefore, it will come out that, for example, if a person would have, lemashal, some soup that was left over inside his bowl, and he would want to take that soup and put it back into a kli rishon, which is still yatsa lettuce boy, it's still hot, and it's still something that has the ability to cook, so that would actually be forbidden. He wouldn't be allowed to put it back inside the kli rishon, because that would be called mevashal, a kaponim yesh bishal achar bishal. And this is going to make it a little bit challenging, so how exactly are we going to put the ladle back in, if the ladle has droplets, and has those droplets also should be a problem, they're going back into your pot, and how are we going to take it out? And it's Hashem, we'll come back to this Bez Hashem soon, shortly. So that's the idea of a kli rishon. The first pouring, shvicha, that comes out of a kli rishon, which is really discussed at length over here in Taisus on another base, is what's known as Irui. And Taisus really, mamash from Kol HaTarkula, comes out of here, what's the halachic status of Irui? Is Irui also have the ability to cook? Irui is when it's being poured from the kli rishon, al Irui kli rishon. And the question is, does that have the ability to cook? The basic achra in the poiskim is that it cooks. It's a big machlekes bemezah, but it cooks al kolpanim, we say kedei klipa. That means that it does have the ability technically to cook, but we only say it cooks a klipa's worth, the amount of appeal on the outside, practically. In Hilchos Shabbos, in Hilchos Brachos B'chol, it has its nafkamina, but in Hilchos Shabbos, the nafkamina would be that, for example, to take boiling hot water and to pour it straight onto something that's non-cooked, whether, we'll see in a moment, whether it's going to be certainly a tea bag, or certainly if it's going to be a lemon or something that's non-cooked, is also going to be forbidden, and that would be known as Irui Kli Rishon. That's the second shlav. And this is, again, where it gets a little confusing, is where people make mistakes. So the next level of what we're talking about is the kli sheni, is that's the first cup that was poured from your urn. In other words, you had a urn, which is the kli rishon. You took the water out of the urn, and it went in now from an iroi, and now went into your cup. That is called a kli sheni. People make mistakes. They call it a kli rishon because they look at it as the first kli, but that's, of course, a mistake. The kli rishon is the kli that was cooked on the fire. So now you have the kli sheni, you have your cup, you have your mug, your coffee mug, and you poured the water in there. Now, what's the lachic status of a kli sheni? As we all saw today, Bain the sugya Amud Aleph, which really discusses already the sugya of Anambati, is already a discussion of kli sheni, and of course the Mishnah over here, and the Gemara on Amud Beis, which is Barichah, discussing, does kli sheni have the ability to cook? And over here, the Gemara discusses back and forth and brings down Manda Amrim. And the Gemara comes out that Melech Hazayna Ketavlin, because Rishon Nami, it doesn't have the ability to cook, specifically about the sugya of Melech. But we all know that the sugya previously said that a Klisheini is not Mevashel. So we're left with a little bit of confusion. That on the one hand, we see that there was at least definitely a Tzad in our Gemara over here that a Klisheini certainly can be Mevashel. It seems to say that a Klisheini, this cup will not be able to be Mevashel Tavlin. It seems to be that we have a Kabbalah that's something that is a spice. It will not be able to cook. And as Tosis explained previously, because the walls of the Klisheini have already cooled down the water inside of it, and they're fighting against the heat, so Mela, doesn't have that same cooking process, and certainly won't be able to cook Tavlin. And previously we also saw, which is also Mefirsh Gemara and Daf Mem, that it won't have the ability to cook water and oil. So that much we have Mefirsh explicit Gemaras, that a Klisheini does not have the ability to cook Bain, the water, and Klisheini can't cook oil, and it can't cook spices. But the question is that there's definitely a mashmayas in our sugya that there are things that Klisheini would be able to cook. There's certainly a tzad over here that maybe it can cook melech, it can cook salt. So even if in the end of the day, it can't cook salt, but we certainly have to be at least mistopic now that maybe there are other foods that a Klisheini has the ability to cook, and we just don't know about it. Which is what prompted the Reim and Bemis, that's really the Psak and Shulchan Aruch in Shin Yud Ches and Siv Hei, that, again, making a long story short, we have to take on that a Klisheini is Mevashel, everything else, Mitzafik. We don't know what it's Mevashel, we don't know if it is Mevashel, we don't know if it's not Mevashel, we don't know what things, but we only know that water it's certainly not, we know that oil it's certainly not, and we know that Tavlin it's certainly not, but everything else we at least have to be Mistopic, and that's the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, and it's really actually, Shulchan Aruch brings it out with a Mashal that is even, we'll call it a bigger chumrah. I don't mean in the normal conventional use of the word chumrah, but it comes out more of a chumrah type of scenario, is that in addition to that, the Shulchan Aruch masks here, intertwines here another halacha, that just like we know there's a concept of yesh bishul achar bishul when it comes to a davar lach, when it comes to a davar that was baked, we're going to say yesh bishul achar afiya, the process of bishul can be now affect something that was baked, which in practical terms, even though ain bishel achar bishel, and the person, if he would have, for example, lakshin, that's dry lakshin certainly, and it was already previously cooked, and he wants to take that and put it inside his kli rishon, so there's no problem, because it was already previously cooked lakshin, and there's absolutely no liquid on it, so we don't have that issue, and we may look, kli rishon does have the ability to cook, but ain bishel achar bishel, because it was already previously cooked the lakshin, so therefore there's no problem. But when it would come to, for example, a piece of bread, or we'll see soon, certain types of croutons which have been baked, and let's say not deep fried, but have been baked. So now to take those croutons and put them into a kli rishon, for example, the chayra, it was already previously baked, so maybe I would say ein bishul achar afiya, there's no more process that can be affected, but that, the reyim and the shulchan aruch bring down over here, then no, we have to worry that, just like there's a concept that there are certain things that can't be cooked because a liquid, for example, got cold, so that's called cooking. So here too, we'll say that the baking process has been done to it, but the bishul process hasn't, and therefore we paskin that there is bishul even after afiyah. Now, what that means in practical terms is that would be bashit, that in the case of a kli rishon, therefore, you would certainly have to be machmir to shalav deraisa, and you wouldn't be able to take a piece of challah and put it inside your pot, which is not a very common case. Not many people are taking challah and putting it in their pot anyways, the pot of soup on the kli rishon. But the question becomes, what about a klisheini? Can I take my bread and dip it into the klisheini? And now that we're saying that, number one, we're machmir because yesh bishul achrafiyah. And number two, we're assuming that everything can be cooked in klisheini, unless, you know, guilty until proven innocent in this case, and we don't know what's cooking, so we have to assume that this is something that has the ability to this is something that can be cooked. The klisheini can cook, and this will be something that will be cooked. So therefore, even in a klisheini, the mishabrua, and that's the Pesach Shulchan Aruch, he says you have to be machmir to not place a piece of bread inside a klisheini. Now, the maisa, generally, by the time that the soup gets to your bowl, generally it's going to either be a kli shlishi or a kli revi or a suffix, because simply you had a kli rishon, which was the actual pot. Now you took a ladle. There's a tremendous shaila in the paiskim what exactly a ladle is, because the ladle sat inside the pot, and is it sad to say that a ladle has the status of the pot that it was in, or do we say no, it's a kli sheini because it's now outside of the pot. It's a shaila, it's at least a suffix. So let's say now when we have the soup coming out of the ladle, from the ladle, so now you have at least a suffix kli rishon, suffix kli sheini, we'll call it like that. Now by the time I put it into my bowl, So if you're going to put it in a serving bowl, so you just took it from a ladle, put it into a serving bowl, so it's at least now klisheni or klishishi. You know, we're moving upward. Then by the time it gets to my plate, you took a ladle, out of that, it's maybe a klisafik rishishi, a klirivi again a suffik with a ladle, and then you're going to go now into my bowl. So if that's the scenario, by the time it gets to your bowl, it's about five svekas that maybe it's a klishishi, and certainly at that point, you would be allowed to put in bread, because even we're machmer on klisheni when it comes to, we're certainly machmer klisheni when it comes to bread, but this shaila we're not going to be machmir on with ladle, which is also shaila. In addition to all of these inyanim, which are each one of them is a suffix, so by that point, by the time it gets to your bowl, it would be permitted to put inside a piece of challah, which is certainly the minig Yisrael. As an aside, there are many croutons which are deep fried, and something that's deep fried, we give a status in halacha bishul legabe many inyanim and legabe challah legabe basa b'challah legabe many inyanim. Something that's deep fried has a status of bishul, and therefore these croutons, a lot of the shkede marak, they're called, the little yellow ones, those ones that are deep fried, certainly you'd even be able to put them in a kli rishon, because that's, again, ein bishul achar bishul. That's not called ein bishul achar fiyah, geish bishul achar fiyah. That's ein bishul achar bishul. So that's, again, that's just, the ikar was really to use this as a mushel, just to be able to level out all the madregas. We have now what's a kli rishon, a sheni. Again, the iroi from a sheni coming when you're pouring from a kli sheni, of course, is going to be much more kulavik. And by the time it gets into your next cup, you know, the second cup, I'll call it, because the urn was the kli rishon, the first cup was kli sheni, and now we're pouring it into another cup. That's called a kli shlishi. Now, the maisa, we have no gemara that really tells us that a kli shlishi is mevashel, and therefore, bederek klal, we can take on that even if most things we're going to be mesupik, that maybe they're kali bishul, and perhaps they are cooking in a klisheni. We have to assume that things could get cooked in a klisheni, but by klishlishi, that already is ungenumen by the paiskim that we take on, that klishlishi is taka not mevashel. And derekal, we can assume that all the things that are going in to a klishlishi, even bread, like we explained, certainly are not mevashel. However, there is one more machlekes, that there might be something that we can term super kali bishul, which is so easily cooked because it's so very, very susceptible to heat. And of course, the example that comes to mind is the famous shaila about a tea bag, which generally the Rosh Paiskim and Klal Yisrael, including the Aruch HaShulchan and most of the Paiskim of Zmanenu, were all machmir that you cannot use a tea bag in a kli shlishi. Again, with Meisha Zatzal, Meisha Kayidua had a tshuva that held that a tea bag in a kli shlishi. Meisha held that once it's a kli shlishi, it doesn't have the ability to cook, and the fact that we're seeing it get colored, the water's getting colored, is considered is not a simen that it's being cooked. That's clearly not the siba that it's being cooked. It just has the ability to color the water, perhaps. It doesn't show us anything. And Rav Moshe held that batsim kli shlishi is permitted. Maisa tiyadua, Rav Moshe himself, in his own hanaga, he was machmir. Hagam that he held that, perhaps you don't, you can't say it's usher. Certainly he held it wasn't usher to make tina kli shlishi, but Kedua Rav Moshe himself had his own personal chumras in how he taka made tea, which was mamish, he would make the essence, as we call it, so commonly called the essence, he would make before Shabbos, and he would even keep the essence hot, which we'll see in a moment, is meikra din, not even necessary. So Lamai said, lahalocha, a person certainly should not use the tea bag on Shabbos, no, a meikol, it's hard to say that he's doing an isser of other. If Rav Moshe was meikol, as Yeshma Lismach, but even if Rav Moshe himself wasn't soimach on that, so it's very difficult for a person to be meikol in making a tea with a tea bag, even in a kli shlishi or a kli revi, because at that point it doesn't really make a difference. The point is, once it's still hot, still yatsa lettuce bite, it has the ability to cook. So that's the summary. Now let's get a little bit more practical. Mashal, to take regular water, we all understand, to put regular water in a kli rishon is going to be aser. To take regular water and put it in a kli sheni, you want to cool down your tea, is going to be mutter. There is a level that the Mishabru discusses that the water, even in a kli sheni, is so hot, it's yad nichvis bite, it's not just yad saletis bite, it's boiling, 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 you can get mamash a blister if you put your finger in. So the Mishabru says that it could be that amount is so hot that it really, even a kli sheni would be mevashel, but that amount of time is generally only about the first 5 or 10 seconds of the tea's life, of the kli sheni's life, and therefore I guess for the first 10 seconds of your kli sheni, you shouldn't put in cold water to, you know, cool down your tea. At least for the first 10 seconds, you have to worry that the water is going to be cooked al yedei the kli sheni. Another kula, which is extremely negaya in making a tea, is a kaponim or usage of a klisheni in general, is we're seeing here that the whole idea of a klisheni is a chumrah. We're mesupik. That klisheni is mevashel, and we take on its mevashel, and we have to take on its mevashel, and perhaps even liquids. It could be we're even taking on liquids. We have to worry chutz from water and oil, it's mevashel, even though it's a shaila, but that's the psak of the mishabura. But a kaponim, let's say you have a previously cooked liquid, which has cooled down, which itself, that's a chumrah. That's already itself a chumrah that we are machmir, that a liquid that was previously cooked, that has now cooled down, is yesh bishel achar bishel. You wouldn't be able to put that in a kli rishon, for example. But in a kli sheni, we're not going to be machmir. That's already a double chumrah, as Rav Moshe calls it. Yesh bishel achar bishel in the first place, it's a shaila. No, there were machmir. And kli sheni is a shaila. No, there were machmir. But to put it together, we'll be makel. And just to make this practical, that means your tea essence, which was a cooked liquid that has now cooled down. Everybody makes the tea bags before Shabbat. They put boiling hot water on it, and now it's a liquid that has been previously cooked. And even though it's cold now, to take that and put it straight into a kli sheni, in other words, again, the first cup, you pour boiling hot water into the cup from the urn, and that kli sheni you want to put on top some tea essence is medina, absolutely mutter, and the mice, it's also again your coffee, that by the time you have a kli sheni, we'll see in a minute how to make coffee with the granules and whatnot, but it's the same idea. If you have a kli sheni, and now you put in, let's say, the coffee granules, we'll explain that in a moment, but then afterwards you'll put in milk generally is pasteurized, and of course if milk is pasteurized, we'll take on, at least for these halachas for sure, that it's considered previously cooked. And since it's considered previously cooked, so therefore you'd be able to put the milk straight into the kli sheni. The chiddush of the tea, the Mishabrua does say that perhaps there's a shaila question about yesh tzvia ba'oichlin, which is why maybe if a person would want to be machmir, the Mishabrua says it's a chumrah to be machmir and tzvia ba'oichlin, and therefore, to make a long story short, you'd be able to take the cliche, if you would be able to take the cup of your hot water, the cliche of your hot water, and pour it onto the tea essence, so then, regarding the lachas tzvia, which is a different topic, it would be a little bit more kuladik. But medina, it's permitted to put the tea essence straight in to the cliche. A lemon, and now once I've done that, to put in the sugar, that's not a problem. Lemon sugar is previously cooked anyways, so it's same bishel achar bishel anyways, and it wouldn't be a problem putting your sugar into your cliche now. That's certainly mutter. A lemon is takar shaila, because a lemon, we have to assume that perhaps klisheni is mevashel. So perhaps a lemon is going to be mevashel inside your klisheni. Those that maybe wanted to say a lemon is a spice, a tavlin, and maybe it doesn't cook, but you have to be chayshish that this is a shaila v'deraisa, and therefore one should put a lemon only in a klishlishi, which would be another reason maybe to use a klishlishi. Certainly in a klishlishi you could put inside a lemon. Lemon juice is generally cooked, so therefore it would be a cooked liquid, and then of course would be able to, it was a previously cooked liquid, and that certainly you would be able to put inside a cup, a klisheni, that would certainly be okay. Now, the gabbai coffee, technically it should have been permitted to put our coffee granules, if it has never been cooked, never cooked coffee, and it's a non-processed coffee, that could be really usher, even in a klisheni. That might be usher like mamish, like a tea bag. However, the general, common usage of tea, of coffee, it's coffee granules, and the matias of coffee granules of our processed coffee, all the general normal brands that people use, instant coffee, the general matias of how they're making these coffees is they basically cook up the bean, and the liquid that is being processed out is really then made into some type of a much thicker syrup, which is really just a constant cooking process. It's really being cooked and cooked and cooked again until it really basically is either freeze-dried or cooked into kernels, and et cetera, et cetera. But the idea is that it's definitely been previously cooked. So your liquid that you have now has been, it's really now liquid that has been granulized and formed into your coffee, in your coffee jar, which is a previously cooked item, which is, for all intents and purposes, a solid. So we should apply the rule of ein bishel achar bishel, and we should say that solid is now a bean, which is cooked, and ein bishel achar bishel, and I could even put it maybe in the kli rishon itself. Or certainly I could take the hot water, the iroi, and pour it straight on to the instant coffee. However, practically, it's good to be machmer in this, simply because the paiskim all discuss that what's the status of a solid that will dissolve and turn into a liquid? Do we give it the status of something that is a solid, and therefore the point of where it's going to be, the border, the hot water is going to be poured on it, it's going to be ein bishel achar bishel bedavar yavish, it's a dry food, and therefore ein bishel achar bishel? Or do we say that we look at the final result, and the final result is going to be a liquid, and then we're going to have a liquid, which of course, yesh bishel achar bishel bedavar lach, that we're machmer on. So therefore, to get out of this problem, the easiest thing is just to make a klisheni, and once you make a klisheni, person could certainly tavla bracha at that point. If you could just take the, instead of pouring the boiling hot water straight onto the tea, also you can have tea, instant tea, or instant coffee beans, or instant coffee and granules, so it would be certainly better to make it in a kli sheni. And like we said before, you would be able now to also pour your milk in the kli sheni, because the milk is generally pasteurized, and therefore a copy of these halachas, it's considered previously cooked. The issue we spoke about before, of taking a ladle and pouring it into and putting it into a kli rishon is taka a major problem, because chayra you have the droplets of this liquid and they get very, very cold very, very fast. And the second you take a ladle outside of the pot, the droplets generally tend to cool off. And once the droplets have cooled off, you're now taking previously cooked liquids and putting them into a kli rishon. If you're putting it right back into the pot, so if you did it within seconds and then it didn't cool off and it's still warm is enough for the Ashkenazim for sure, and that wouldn't be such an issue. But once it cooled off and you're taking the ladle and putting droplets, which are cold droplets, back inside the pot, so that really technically should be a problem of, I'll give an example where a person, he has the meal, you know, and then somebody wants for seconds, so the ladle is sitting outside, if the ladle sat in the pot, it's gewaldic, but if the ladle is outside the pot, and so now the droplets have cooled off, so you have droplets of liquid that was previously cooked, and we say, so you're going to have a problem putting that inside the kli rishon. The arpoiskim that discuss and say that there are all types of cheshbonos here. The amount that's being cooked is a chatzishir, and it's a psikoresha, delay nichale, and the whole idea of why a chatzishir is also because it's an achshavei, because he wants it to be cooking, and here he doesn't even know about it, he doesn't care about it, there's no achshava, so you know, it's a psikoresha, it's like nichale, it's maybe even ein tzarach lakufa, there's a lot of cheshbonos over here, and maybe the whole yesh bishel achar bishel is taka just a chumra, ben misdarb, the arishayna that certainly held ein bishel achar bishel, even if it's a relach, so therefore it could be if you put all this together, in Medina, it's certainly there's a makom to say that you'd be able to put this ladle straight back inside. But the ma'isa b'myos toiv, it might be g'day that the person just shakes off the ladle, he gives it a few shakes. I don't know if you have to sit there and dry it, but if it gives it a few shakes, and then at least l'kol hapachas, anything else that's left over, the moisture, that certainly we could say is batel. That would be l'gabi a ladle where the liquid and the droplets were previously cooked. However, sometimes the issue is when he has a cup that, for example, he washed out, he was in a shul, and he took the cup from the shul, and he washed out the cup, so then those droplets that are at the bottom of the cup, those droplets, taka, have never been cooked. And you lost a lot of our svara, one of our major svaras of why you could pour boiling hot water, let's say, for example, on previously cooked droplets, was because they were previously cooked. So they're not chashiv, and psikresha, and leinichle, and all these cheshbainas. But once you have, you know, a cup that was washed in the sink, and there's droplets on the bottom, and you want to take boiling hot water and pour it straight into the cup, that is a major problem, because you're doing irui onto those droplets. And in a chanami, it might be psikresha, and leinichle, and whatnot, but, you know, we do find in the Mishabruah and Simin Shin Aleph, where he discusses, you know, not taking a towel and putting it too close to a fire because it's going to cook the droplets. And again, we could have asked the same svaras. We could say psikreshes and leinichales and chatishirs. And you see that lemaisa, these svaras, you have to know when to apply them and when they are considered halachic cheshbainis that a person can be makel on. And that's why it's certainly kedai that if he washes out the cup, it is certainly kedai to dry it, because that liquid has never been previously cooked. That would be very negeya in making his tea. So Pasha will go, you know, step by step. He takes his cup, he washes it out. If he wants to use the cup, he should probably dry this cup. Certainly should dry the cup now. Now he's going to have the water pouring into this dry cup. He has it now a klisheni. He could put in the tea essence. He could put in that point the coffee beans. The instant coffee, he can put in sugar at that point. We said lemon, it's not good to put in that point. He should try to put the lemon only in a klishlishi. He can put milk in at that point, because a klisheni, a liquid that has been previously cooked, he can put into a klisheni. That would taka be beseder. The next shlav, klishalishi, that should certainly be machmir on a tea bag. That certainly is kedai to be machmir. And the emes is if you really want to get out of all problems and just push it, you know, a person is very tired and it's the middle of the night, you know, he wants to turn off his brain. So then, you know, he could just always make things in a klishalishi, and then he knows that he's always covered unless he's making a tea in a tea bag with a tea. Then he really is more or less covered always with a klishlishi. I must end with something to look into. It seems to be that a lot of the sweeteners are, even number one, some of the things, the chemicals that make up these sweeteners are taken not previously cooked. And it seems to be that some of the sweeteners are never cooked in the first place and that they are just baked. Now, this is something that certainly it would need somebody to further looking into which sweeteners and what, but it would come out, this Hagdara, that Bemis, the sweeteners, if they were only baked and not cooked, so then to put them in a klishlishi would certainly be a problem. We're saying to put it in a klishlishi even would be a problem. And mistama, you'd have to put it in a klishlishi. And we don't have to chayshish that it's a super kalibishal, but you would have to put these in a klishlishi if that would be the case. And again, if somebody has further information, so then, either bein l'kluma, bein l'kula, would be based on these klalim. If it was previously cooked, so then avada you'd be able to put it in a klisheni and probably even a klirishin. We'd be machmir to put it in a klisheni, but al-kaponim, if it wasn't previously cooked and was previously baked, or if it wasn't cooked at all, so then you would have to be machmir and only be allowed to put the sweeteners into a kli shlishi.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.